Lord, we just thank you for who you are. And Lord, you would, in this certain day we're in, Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, to Christ's King. Lord, there's things you're saying to the body of Christ, but also things you're saying to us at Christ's King. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit says. In Jesus' name. It's important, if you've read through the book of Revelation, the revelation of Christ, seven different churches, and the Lord had a word for all of them. He would write to the angel of the church, and it was full of, but at the end of every one of them, it would say, let his ears, let him hear, or let them hear what the Spirit is saying, the Spirit of God is saying to that particular church. So we know what God is saying to us at Christ the King. We've been talking about that. They're in a time of really stewarding what he's doing, seeing it before us already in many ways and manifestations, healings, favor of God, all these different things. It's going to touch all of our lives. Everyone read you that prophetic word on Tuesday, a time of just going for 100-fold and not settling for 30, not to end your life living in Haran, but to go into Canaan, which is the picture of Spirit-filled living, right? Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. But one thing he says more than anything there in John is that he is our helper. So helper means we need help, right? If I say to John, John, I'm your helper, that means I come to help you. So he's to lead us in all truth, to fill us, Bishop, if you haven't, you can go to Facebook and listen to his word last night, just the normal living in the book of Acts, which is started off with them being all baptized in the Holy Spirit, all full of the Spirit, you know. That had to be an amazing thing to watch. And it was a continual life of them, what life looked like being continually filled is there to take the things, remember, just we have received the Holy Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things given to us by God. So we received his Spirit so that we can know the things. Things we speak, they're not taught by human wisdom, but those that are taught by the Spirit as our teacher. Remember, he said he'd be our teacher. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing is in you, he will teach you all things, right? Talking about the Holy Spirit. That scripture has been really misinterpreted and misused, like a person saying, I have no need for anyone around me to teach me. It can just be me and God alone out somewhere. And that's always disastrous, because every cult or every heresy, or not heretical, every cult that started usually started by a person who heard God apart from accountability and apart from being tied into the foundational scripture, and then the church, the apostolic government, get you in a lot of trouble. So the Spirit teaches us. It's one of those times where I was going to say something and now I'm saying something else. But we're lacking in nothing to help you out. In Corinthians, where I was, this is a really good verse where Paul says, I thank my God concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you in Christ Jesus. The grace of God is, let's just say right now, we're going to say the grace of God for you is the power of God. It's the power to live. It's the what he releases, his grace to you to live. That's the reason Paul always said, grace to you and peace from God the Father. His grace is his, all of who he is, his presence, right? But his grace is the power of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power to live. It's the power granted to you. He said, by the grace of God, that in everything you were enriched in Christ, all speech and knowledge, even the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. when you received it. There's a great confirmation, because if you, when you got born again or whatever your experience, when you received the Holy Spirit or you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was a testimony within you. There was a confirmation within you, you know. When I was prayed over to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was actually by Archbishop Chuck, but he was just Chuck then. And he was 1991. I was in college at Mobile College, with University of Mobile now, which is a private Baptist college. Going through college, getting ready, then I was going to leave there and go to seminary, Baptist Theological Seminary in New Orleans. And until I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, then everything changed. I was in school. I was in the spring semester. A friend of mine came in there, talked to me about the Spirit had fallen on this little church called Church of the New Covenant, which used to be a house where this building is over here. And it was in the shape of an L, right? So sometimes if you're sitting over here, you couldn't see the people who were sitting back in the L, the house of the L. Well, the Holy Spirit just kind of fell on this little congregation. And people I knew were there, which gave credible witness for me, because as Baptist, particular Baptist I was in, we were taught that that didn't exist today, that the gifts of the Spirit did not exist. That was for a certain period of time. Dispensationalism is what it's called, and a dispensation of different things. And but I encountered it. So it was real. I was a time of very emotional, spiritual desperation. I was so desperate. If I had to have a move of God in my life, or I was didn't think I was going to make it. So I came up here and I met with him, and he prayed for me, and my world was rocked, because all of a sudden God became real to me, alive in me. And he spoke to me, which he wasn't supposed to speak to you apart from Scripture, right? That's how I was taught to believe. And I began to hear him speak. And then he said, move to Selma, move back to Selma. I'm in the spring semester at a college that was very expensive, and a church was paying. I was in the military, so I got government money. Got what it's called. They give you the GI Bill. Was helping me pay for school, and this church was making up the other. Then I had to work at Walmart and do everything we could to make it. And then the Lord tells me to move to Selma. So I've got to go down there, and when I'm going to finish out, I only had a month left on the spring semester. So after I made the decision to move back, to hear the voice of the Lord telling me to come back to Selma, there was a guy that walked on campus one day, very wealthy man, and he was going to offer a married couple a full ride scholarship, meant that he was going to pay for the schooling, and he was also going to give money to live on. So I wouldn't have to work. I could go to school, have money, not have to worry about anything. But God had already spoken to me. So it was a counteroffer from the enemy. Pretty good counteroffer, right? Move back to Selma. What are you going to do when you get there? I don't know. I didn't have a job lined up or anything. I'm married, out of the military. But I knew what God said. I mean, it was just in me. And I knew that if I didn't obey him, I was not going to make it. You know, I went into a time of depression and was just very oppressed, whatever, depressed. Those words weren't used a lot back then. So I did. I came to Selma, and Mr. Bill Jones hired me to work for him. And I moved up from working in the warehouse to a manager of Jones Tire. So that was that's how God got me here. I don't know how I got on that story, other than my life was changed when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, did I have the Spirit of God already? Yes, right? If you're saved, that doesn't come in parts, right? You get the fullness of deity dwells in you. But but you can have it and not experience it. You can have a presence. I could give you an armful of presents, right? Presents. Here's a bunch of presents for you, and you take them and you have them, but never open them. And sadly, that's how the majority of believers live their life. They have a bunch of presents and they've never opened them. They've never opened power. See, what I needed was, I knew I was born again. I knew I was going to go to heaven, but I had no power to live life. Where John 10 says, I came to give you life and life more abundant, was not my experience. I was saved, but I was absolutely miserable. A miserable, saved person. Because I didn't know the Holy Spirit. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit that made Jesus real to me. Jesus was just something far distant, just to read about him in Scripture, you know. And I knew Scripture because that's all I'd done while I was in the military, just memorized Scripture. Had most of the New Testament completely memorized. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, 1st John, yep, 1st Peter, all five books of 1st Peter. I had all that memorized. Could quote from, and then I had a stack of memory cards, memory verse cards. And all that didn't help. I mean, it helped, right? It was the word in me. God used that to get a good foundation in me. But I thought the more that I knew of this word, then I would be free. And one ingredient you're lacking, right? Sometimes there's things with one lacking ingredient, it just doesn't work, right? I have to use epoxies for stuff, and there's a thing you have to mix with epoxy to make it work, a hardener, you know? Doesn't work without it. You can't glue anything together. So, life began to work for me. It's a hardener that you mix with the epoxy. It's just called hardener, and you mix the two together, and you use it, and it'll dry really hard. It's like epoxy is what like bowling balls are made out of. You use it for gun repair and stuff like that. So that was a missing ingredient for me. And it's almost like the Lord has given us here at Christ the King all an invitation for us to experience or to be filled, refilled, or to be rebaptized, however you want to do it. Baptized means to be just immersed. That's all it means, just to be fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. Because when you're fully immersed, all that's yours starts becoming yours in experience where, I'll just use a few verses. We got a really late start, so I'll wrap it up here. We had read out of Colossians 3, where it talks about, since we've been raised up with Christ, since that's happened to you, continue seeking the things above, right, as a lifestyle. Set all your affections, all your emotions, all your heart on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And when Christ, who is your very life, is revealed, then who you are in him will be revealed, okay? The ingredient of that, of seeking that, is the Holy Spirit. He plays a big role in that. This new self says you're being renewed to the image of the one who created you. A renewal which there's no distinction between any person, Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, or Scythian, which were pretty bad dudes, slave or free man. But this is it, where Christ is all and he's in all. Where Christ is all, you're all. For those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, patience, all these cool things, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, and beyond all these things, put on love. And it says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, which you were called to one body. Be thankful. And then let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other, with psalms, singing spiritual songs, praises, singing to God with thankfulness in our hearts. So having the word of Christ richly within us is what I had the written word in me. But what God wanted to do is release the living word within me, so that the living word of Christ would be man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, where the living word within me would be my fellowship and my life, right? Song of Solomon uses, you've heard me say, like a garden, you know, very first part of it, the Christian was having a problem because they got so busy, caught up into church stuff that they neglected their garden. And it says, I was so busy taking care of everybody else or other people's garden that I neglected my own garden, right? And then Jesus says, being who he does, he just begins to speak, call forth, beloved, and the whole thing is a conversation. The whole book is a conversation having with God to bring them to a place to where, at the end, where the fire, the love of God, the fire of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit was like a vehement flame burning within them continually. And that's the reason I wore my ring today, which is the burning heart of Christ. And that's a Catholic uses that a lot. It's a shame that we don't see that as much here, but it's the heart of Christ. It's got a crown around it, but and the flames coming up out of it. It's the burning heart of Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit within us does. When John, one more scripture, then we'll be through. Did absolutely nothing of what I was, thought I was going to do today. But hopefully just encouraging you, hearing my story, that if you're living a life and it seems just powerless, and that's not God's will for your life. Because when John was speaking about Jesus, he said, one is coming, John the Baptist, which I was ordained on John the Baptist Day according to the Orthodox Church. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear the threshing floor. He will gather the wheat into the barn, all of us into Christ, and he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire, a fire that's never quenched. Hebrews 12 says, our God is a consuming fire, right? So there's supposed to be within us a good fire that we have it, but it has to be tended to just like you have to tend to a fire. I found myself teaching the young boys Sunday school class, youth Sunday school, we're all boys, so I'm the teacher now. We talked about that. How do you keep a fire going? You keep feeding the fire, right? You keep feeding the fire. Definitely you don't move coal away from it. You put it in there with other coals, and you keep fanning the fire. You keep fueling the fire, right? You fan the flame. You keep it burning. You keep it going, and the fire just continues to rage within you, right? You and I are created to live in his presence always, because you're in his presence, right? You're seated with Christ in the right hand of God. He's in you, and he's got so many things to release in you, to give you, to show you. Jesus said the last thing, very last thing he prayed, I'll say this and then I'll be finished. To sum up the word, because this was the last prayers that Jesus prayed before he was crucified. He's praying to the Father, and he said, look, God, the glory that you've given to me, presence you've given to me, that they may be one as we are. I'm going to be in them, and you're going to be in me, that they may be perfected in the unity, so that they know that you really sent me, and you love them, if you love me. And Father, I desire, this is the last thing, I desire that they whom you've given me be where I am, so that they may see and experience my glory, which you've given me. You've loved me before the foundation of the world. I've made your name known to them, Father, and I will continually make it known so that they may be doused in the love, baptized in the love which you've loved me, and that same love will be in them, and I'm going to be in them. Okay? So we start by making it a bring him to reveal who he is, asking the Holy Spirit to fill us, right? To teach us, to lead us into truth, to keep the flame burning. Even if we don't feel it, that's okay. Fire melts things, ignites things. Passion is love is passion. It's designed to consume us. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. Let me consume you. Amen.